one of the first things I question is, can I have more than one life insurance policy?
You certainly can. You can have as many as you want. The reality, though, is you probably don't want that. The simple reason is life insurance has in each policy inherently built into it something that's known as a policy fee, which realistically is just an administration charge by the insurance company. And so what the concern is simply is you're duplicating this admin fee 3, 4, 5 times. I mean, it's not been uncommon. I've seen people with, you know, 15 different policies. What are you thinking? Because you're paying this fee 15 times over, and it can range anywhere from $35 to $75 per plan. So in a year, of course, you're thinking, well, that could be anywhere from $600 to $700 just going out in a fee, really nothing that's actually providing you protection. The other side as well, though, is to consider life insurance in particular. They price it out in what they call bands. Bands simply are, it's kind of like cheaper by the dozen. The first 50,000, you pay so much per thousand. Then if you want 100, it's so much. 250, it's so much. 500, and it gets cheaper the more you buy at one time. So again, if you were looking for a $600,000 policy or a coverage, you're better off with one plan because you're going to not only pay one policy fee, but you've got a lower rate per thousand because of how much coverage you're buying.
What about, do life insurance policies ever cancel each other out? Like, what if I have a credit life policy and a whole life policy? Will one not pay out?
No. Life insurance, basically, as long as you're paying premiums, the plan's in force, and the benefit will be paid. Disability insurance has a maximum benefit, and it's traditionally 75% of your earnings is what's allowed to be paid. So you end up with, on a disability plan, something like what's called a first payer. So, for example, if you received a claim from a group insurance benefit and then you had your own individual plan, the group's going to pay after the individual, but only up to a maximum, where the life insurance says if you've got combined coverage of $600,000, it will pay out $600,000. There might be 50 from one and 100 from another and 200 from another. The items, though, you've got to be concerned with, as you say, canceling, realistically, the only way you can cancel them is you have to write the institution that has the policy a letter saying, surrender my policy effective immediately.
Okay. So now... Do you really need life insurance if you're a young, single person with no kids?
That's a real great question. And the way I would answer that is, do you buy car insurance if you do not have a car? And what I mean by that simply is, if you have no financial, nobody's going to be worse off financially if you were to pass away, then what are we protecting? And again, the analogy of, I wouldn't buy car insurance if I don't own a car. Once we start having children, in particular, they have a financial necessity. They're dependent upon us. So now I've got about a 25-year timeline that I have this obligation, short of me being able to save up enough money to what I call self-insure yourself. But ultimately, not until that point. Yes, maybe if you got into a business arrangement where you were now your capabilities and a partner might be of need of each other. And, of course, if we lose one, we lose an issue with the corporation. But most scenarios, if it's just looking at individual personal concerns, not really.
So what if I get my policy and I stick in and I don't make the required premiums? What happens then?
It does depend on the type of plan. If you have just what's called a flat term policy, term just basically means all you're doing is paying the base amount of insurance. There's no other anything else applied to it. There's no extra savings component in any way, shape, or form. Term, miss a premium for 30 days, it's going to cancel. Because what you've gone, you'll have a 30-day period after your last premium was due to be able to have the policy in place. If you miss it, it will cancel. Now, the insurance company gives you a couple of opportunities to get back in. They have a reinstatement plan, but you have to just make up the shortfall of premium. If you have another type of plan, traditionally what was known as cash value, they can go into the cash portion of the policy and use it as a premium loan. Those kind of plans are becoming somewhat antiquated, and the fact that insurance companies have finally started to become a lot more competitive and consumer-focused as opposed to corporation-focused. So a new version of that is what's called a universal life. A universal life will now really have an investment fund attached to the insurance component, and in there, again, there's a bit of savings component and investment return you're getting now where you can pick the different investments and whatnot. There's where you pooled a little bit of money. So let's say at the end of a year there's $600 extra in the plan. You could potentially afford to miss one or two premiums and not have the policy lapse because they'll automatically go to the cash portion of the investment and pull it out, pull the premium out of that.
Okay. And so another thing that's kind of a big deal is the medical exams. What do insurance companies look for when they do these medical exams?
First thing they will want to really check for is, again, through a questionnaire, is our medical history. What are some of the items that we've maybe been challenged with? If we haven't had, we've got a clean bill of health, they'll determine that as well. What they will do is they will have a nurse traditionally come and take a urine and potentially today now a blood sample. Those are to just check for things that, you know, normally just don't show up in medical history or maybe are undiscovered so far. In particular today, you know, with the introduction of, you know, diseases such as AIDS and HIV and now those types of things, those are great concerns to the insurance companies. Plus, as well, they will be screening for things such as, are you a smoker or are you not a smoker? If you state you aren't one, they want verification, things like that, because that's one of the big catalysts in life insurance that makes it more expensive. If you're a smoker, it's pretty much close to double what it would cost if you're a non-smoker. So they want to determine those kinds of things, and they do that through body fluids. Depends on the amount of coverage you're getting, though. If you're getting $1.5 million of coverage for some reason, they're probably going to want a more intensive one. They would want, like, an EKG, you know, go to the hospital and get some tests done type of thing. But for most of us, it's predominantly a nurse visit with, you know, providing a urine and a blood specimen.
Okay, great. Thanks so much. Is there anything you want to mention I didn't ask you about?
Just again, really I look at more from the standpoint of how do you determine how much coverage you need?
Mm-hmm.
And the analogy I use is you're always looking to insure the goose, not the golden egg. And I mean by that is the golden egg is pay off the mortgage, pay out my line of credit, you know, take care of obligations. The reality of it is it's the income that you earned was the most valuable component because it paid all those bills anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
A house clear title to a surviving spouse is of little value because they can't eat any of it, yet they've lost the income that provided the money for the groceries and the mortgage payment and everything else. So look at insuring the goose. And what I mean by that is if you're going to lose $40,000 income, that $40,000 needs to be replaced. And what that requires is a larger lump of insurance that is then paid out to the surviving spouse. They invest it and draw an income off it. The $40,000 is now replaced. We can still go to make mortgage payments and everything else.
Okay.
So it's adequately getting the right amount of coverage is a tough one as well today.
Yeah, that makes sense. You're right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks so much for your time. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, dear.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.